There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear whatever I want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon negative EVA material made from sugarcane. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, hour number two of our radio program, NCAA Tournament, day number two as we're wrapping up the first round. Still some games left to be decided and still have to get tipped off, but what an NCAA Tournament it's been so far. Yesterday was real. The real chaos did happen. You heard from Mitch Henderson, the head coach of Princeton. In the last hour he joined us, they were a 15 seed. Three straight years, a 15 seed defeated a two when Princeton, for the last 5 minutes of the game, held Arizona off the board as the Tigers are moving on to play Missouri tomorrow night. They win 59-55. Yesterday, you also did see Furman, who is a 13 seed. They found a way to take down number four, Virginia. And we were talking about that all in the last hour, the decision by Tony Bennett to not call a timeout. And outside of that, and I know that there's different levels and different waves of upsets. Like, for example, what Furman and what Princeton did is a monumental upset. Like, Auburn as a 9 beating Iowa, I don't really consider that an upset, even though Iowa is a better seed than Auburn. But a good job by Auburn and Bruce Pearl. You know, that was a team that was 4-9 down the stretch up until yesterday. So to be able to pull off that victory against Iowa and really control that game was impressive. And now we'll see if Auburn in Birmingham can go on to defeat Houston, who's dealing with injuries. And they had a close game last night. And you had Marcus Sasser dealing with that groin injury. He did re-aggravate. And then Jamal Sheed does have a hyperextended knee. Both players, though, did say today that they were going to play. Got to give a little tip of the cap to Hot Take Hickey's squad in Penn State. I don't really consider that, once again, a big upset. I thought Penn State was going to win the game, but I root for Penn State yesterday. Hickey and I, we walk hand in hand. We lead a victory for the Nittany Lions, and now I'm going to be like the parent letting my kid cross the street for the first time, and we'll see if the mush is going to happen or not. Either Hickey's going to get hit by a car tomorrow without me helping him, or he's going to find a way to finally break the mush of Hot Take Hickey, who's already guaranteeing that Penn State is going to be Texas tomorrow. But what a dominant, I just mean a dominant performance by the Nittany Lions as they do win 76-59 over Texas A&M. San Diego State, Charleston, it was close towards the end. I did not like, and I know Charleston was playing from behind, that foul call that they did call against Charleston late in that game. But other than that, there was no really other big upsets yesterday. Now, you say that, and it comes off those two big upsets, the 15 in Princeton, the 13 Furman winning. So that was pretty much yesterday. I know some people like Oral Roberts over Duke. I thought Duke, Hickey, one of the more bigger storylines from yesterday, because you have Oral Roberts, who 2 years ago gets the Sweet 16. Max Asemus, who led the country in scoring, is still on that team. And some people are like, all right, Oral Roberts, they're better than the team that they were 2 years ago by all the statistics and then also by the records that they do have this year. But then their matchup was just bad. And Duke, who is as hot could be, and Duke right now with a trip to the Final Four potentially next weekend in the second round of the NCAA tournament, they would be coming to Madison Square Garden, which you know how many Duke fans there are around here just being in New York and that iconic brand. That if they get through tomorrow, that could be a very easy path for the Dukies to go to Houston to try to go win two more games in John Shire's inaugural season as the head coach to go win the championship. But I thought Duke was a bad matchup for Oral Roberts, and Duke just sent a message yesterday.
I don't know how you go about filling out your bracket, but one of the things I do like to do from time to time is look at those teams that everyone likes to call a dark horse team to make a deep run, even though they're not really that much of a dark horse. And one of those teams was Duke. A lot of people picking Duke to go to the Final Four. A lot of love shown for Duke on the selection shows and the analysis you heard after it. That was a game where I thought, you know what, once a year, there's always one team that people love or that's the hot team or the trendy team that falls early. I thought it was going to be Duke yesterday, and about 5 minutes into the game,
turn out the lights.
I think they put any thoughts of doubt, they put those to bed.
And I thought Duke would win, but I just wondered how much of a fight it was going to be, and it wasn't anywhere close to being a fight. It was pretty much a knockout in the first like two. It would be like in the UFC where you have this big fight, and then the first minute 15. There's a knockout, and then the fight's over. It's like, okay, we're not even going to see the other rounds of the fight. And then UCLA, not that anyone was expecting UNC Asheville to win, but UCLA just dominating without Jalen Clark. I thought that was a nice little statement by UCLA, who has so much experience, obviously, with the runs that they have gone on in recent years. And you have Jaquez, and you also have Campbell as well. They just have so many good players on that team. And you kind of did see the veteran experience come up large yesterday, where when you have an injury, even though they're going up against a 15. Now, with that being said, we did see a 15 seed win yesterday in Princeton beating Arizona. You did not see UCLA, the moment, be too big for them, where for UCLA, they had that experience. For Arizona, I know they were in the Sweet 16 last year, but it was marinated in like disappointment because people thought they would be in the Final Four a year ago.
Especially when you're talking about college kids, emotions, like they wear their emotions on their sleeve, and the emotional swings dictate sometimes how teams play, either in a positive way or a negative way. And you're right, when you have such a catastrophic injury to one of the best defenders on your team that late in the year, you don't know how a team's going to play. Even like you said, even when it's a 215, it's like, how do you come out? Do you let that injury get in your head and you kind of play slow and woe is me? Or do you come out like on a mission and say, hey, screw it, we're still going to play. We've seen other teams win without their best players. We're going to be one of those teams. And so far, like I said, UCLA left no doubt, at least early on, where their mindset is going to be.
By the way, remember Ann, who messages me a lot and often has a bone or two to pick with you with some of your predictions and things
like
that?
Yeah, I forget what she got mad at me for about a month ago, but she was not happy with something I said. I don't recall, but yes.
Well, she messaged me to start the show, and she said, and I actually think she's on to something here, and I think she is right. She goes, I hope to hear a heartfelt thank you for your Penn State fandom from Ryan. 1-0 is 1-0. And that's the best first half you've ever seen out of Penn State basketball.
This is what I tried to warn everyone listening yesterday. I had a feeling this was going to happen. You're coming on the bandwagon. Now, all of a sudden, you are the hero, even though Penn State's been playing great in March. Didn't need your help to get into
but
the
not
tournament.
This dominant.
When they were on the bubble and things were looking bleak, losing to Rutgers a few weeks ago.
Not this
and
dominant.
And all they did was get off the mat, earn their way into the tournament, earn their way from off the bubble, off the first four, to a 10 seed, to playing some good basketball.
Not this dominant.
This, all of a sudden now, it's the Zach Gelb, you know, he's the reason why this team is winning. And even for a moment that I, for my alma mater, want to enjoy, for a school that you despise.
I love Penn
the
State.
The narrative for some people, some listeners, to think that now you are the hero of a school you hate. It pains me. It does pain me, I will say.
With 5.5 minutes to go, I'm texting your AD last night. We were having a text exchange. My guy, Pat Kraft.
Speaking of texting, I almost committed a murder yesterday.
Whoa.
Almost.
Wait.
There's someone that works here.
Wait, time out. I'm talking about a conversation that I'm having with someone that used to be the AD at Temple, then went to be the AD at Boston College, now the AD of Penn State, your alma mater in Pat Kraft. And you follow that up with talking about texting. I almost committed a murder yesterday. What the heck do you do when you go home? So was someone texting you wishing bad luck on your program? Is that what
Basically.
Was going on?
So this
wait,
game
now,
tipped
wait,
off about 10:15.
Time out.
Just for people to know. Yes.
Don't tell me who the person is.
Sure.
Yet.
I will not. You know them.
I can guess this person?
Yes. You know them.
Are they on a Monday through Friday show?
Yes.
Here?
I get a 3-word text.
Wait, now hold on. I think it's two people. My first guess would be Mraz.
Do you want me to read you the text first? Let me just, won't give it away.
Fine, okay.
Is it Sean? No, it is not Sean.
Okay, I have one more guess then.
Who is it?
Pete the Body Bilotti.
Now, timing would give this away. No, they are both not up at 11:27 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, so it's someone in the Monday through Friday lineup here?
This was at halftime.
Okay.
A three-word text. Congrats in advance, exclamation point.
Wow. So that's an Stu.
At halftime.
Stu.
Good guess, not Stu.
And they work at CBS Sports Radio or
Dunhall? Yes. And their intentions, I believe,
to mush you,
were actually good. I don't think they're saying this out of spite and hoping Penn State with a 16-point halftime lead was going to blow it. I don't think this was, bait him into say something. I'm going to screenshot and put on Twitter later to where if Penn State blows a 16-point lead, I'm going to get a laugh because the mush is back, thinking I'm going to say, like, oh, can't wait, you know, hope Texas is ready. Think I was going to say something stupid like that.
Bill Ryder.
No.
Wow. Hold on. How many people are you friends with here?
This is a shock.
Can you give me a hint?
This text from this person came through.
Can you give me a hint?
You see them almost every day.
I see them almost every day. Now, they're not on the air or a producer here?
They are a producer.
Part-time producer or full-time producer?
Full-time producer.
Oh, D-Cell.
Not D-Cell. Again, someone who has bad intentions and wants to see me suffer.
D-Cell.
Exactly. It is not D-Cell.
And it's not Gallo.
D-Cell, this person who texted me, I think, had good intentions. They wanted to see me happy. This was a text, like, truly, congrats in advance in a good way. Not in a bad way, where Stu would text that to me, hoping I say something stupid. D-Cell would text that to me, hoping it would be a mush. It was David Shepard.
Wow!
Congrats in advance.
Now, hold on. I agree with you. I don't think there's any ill intent there, because Shep is a good dude and means well. And I've had conversations with Shep. He respects the crap out of you. That is an early, and I mean an early text to send someone. Even though it was clear that game is over, because I'll just take you from my personal experience. I had a tweet at halftime ready to go, basically saying, like, told you I was going to save the day for Penn State. Hickey, I'll expect my thank you coming up in like a few moments. And I was about to press send at halftime, but then I said to myself, I got to wait a little bit longer. Like, even though I thought that game was wrapped up at half, there's usually an opportunity where the other team goes and makes a run and, like, cuts it down to 10, and you're like, oh, here's the life, and then Penn State just hits dagger after dagger after dagger, and then it goes away. I waited till, like, 10 or 8 minutes left, I think it was, in the first half. So you were annoyed with Shep.
I responded with him very simply, are you effing nuts? But I censored it for the radio.
Yeah, you don't want to go down that road again.
No, I've done it once and I'll make that same mistake again. Because, yes, I've seen Penn State so many times this year go on a 7-minute scoring drought, go on an 8-minute scoring drought, where even though they're up 16 at halftime and this text is, again, good intentions, really until they're up like 21 and couldn't miss, I said, okay, this game is over. But they are the kings of going from red hot to ice cold in the span of 3 minutes.
Hey, do me a favor,
so,
by the way.
So, Shep, I will be nicer to him when I see him later.
Imagine they
but
lost.
I almost, if I could have gone through the phone and strangled someone when he texted out it to me, I couldn't believe it.
Hey, do me a favor, by the way. Can I hear that montage one more time that was put together before the start of the show that just highlighted our conversation yesterday as we continue to, for the one and only time in my life, celebrate a Penn State victory?
Zombie Nation.
We are Penn State! Go Pat Kraft! Go Nittany Lions! Go Micah Shrewsbury! I'm going to lead you guys to a victory tonight.
It's fun seeing all the Penn Staters that showed up and were cheering for us.
We are Penn State!
But, like, we want to go on a run.
They should build a statue of me tonight if Penn State wins. They could use a new statue on that campus.
Fires and scores. I mean, that is just fish in a barrel for Funk. It's like shooting layups right now from 25 feet for Andrew Funk.
I think you're just in a rut, and you need a little helping hand by your friend and yours truly, and that's what I'm trying to do tonight with Penn State.
Ryan Hickey proud.
I think you should welcome me aboard your bandwagon to Penn State. You're a mush.
Ryan Hickey proud. Ryan Hickey proud. Ryan Hickey proud.
And then maybe if they're when they're in the second round, Pat Kraft will invite me and I'll be an honorary captain.
No big deal.
And the Nittany Lions advance to Saturday in round two.
No big deal.
I can't even now enjoy a Penn State win because now it's Zach coming in tomorrow. We're going to lead the show. Here I am, the savior, the whisperer, the winner.
I'm waiting to hear two words.
I got one word for you.
Oh, why?
What? There is something going on here.
I wanted to help you.
No, that's you hate Penn State,
right,
and you know what?
I kind
of like the tension or like the divide. I like that Penn State is mine. I like the Temple is yours, separate but equal. I don't like that now you're coming over into enemy territory.
Can I be honest?
Waving the Penn State flag. This feels like a Trojan horse situation.
Can I be honest?
Sure, be honest.
I'm leaving CBS Sports Radio in 3 weeks. I'm accepting a job as the afternoon drive host in State College, where I'm going to host radio there.
Are you going to be critical of the program? Because I know you can't be waving pom-poms. That's not in your DNA.
They may be bringing Boeheimin to be a special advisor since he has some time on his hands. And he's going to go over to Penn State and then probably get me fired. And I'll be back here in 3 weeks.
Okay, so have about 2 days to enjoy some non-Penn State hate before you're right back in the driver's seat.
No, all kidding aside. And just to be clear, I'm staying here at CBS Sports Radio. I know there would be some jackass somewhere that would be like, oh, he's leaving, finally. But I actually wanted to see you win. And I think it makes it easier when I know someone in the athletic department who's been really good to me when I was a college student at Temple and gave me great access, now being your AD. For football, I'll never get there. I just will not. I can't root for Penn State football. But when it comes to basketball, you being a friend, I wanted to see you finally happy after how much fun we do have at your expense. And also, one of my other close friends that you met at the Super Bowl, Jared, he's a crazy, crazy, crazy Penn State basketball fan. He was once tweeting Pat Chambers when he was a coach there, get off your ass and do some recruiting, gets blocked by Penn State basketball. And then I had to tweet Penn State with whatever following I have to unblock Jared, which they finally did. So I wanted to see two guys that are not just jumping on the bandwagon for this run that have actually watched Penn State basketball for years and years and years, have a moment like that. That's why.
There's a lot of pain behind or leading up to yesterday's big euphoric win, that is for sure.
Yeah, so good intentions. Now, where do you guys play if you beat Texas? I know that you already had the destination probably thought of. Where do you guys play? What would that be, on a Thursday, I think it is?
Not sure, either
Thursday or Friday.
Kansas City, Missouri is where the Sweet 16 Elite Eight will be held for the Midwest region.
Now, let me ask you this. Maybe I'll be a really nice guy here. What happens if let's just say, I don't know if I could do this, but what happens if I could secure tickets if they play on that Thursday or Friday? And let's say if it's Thursday, we fly out maybe Thursday morning, we take off the show, we go to the game, and then Friday we do the show from Kansas City. If it's on a Friday, maybe we just take off Friday and fly out Friday morning. If I could secure tickets, let's just say, for you and I to go, and I think I could, would you be down to go? Do I have to beg you to go? Like, that's my question. I think it would be good for the show if, and it's a big if, because Penn State has to beat Texas. Would you want to go?
That's right. We're not putting the cart before the horse. That's for sure.
If I could get you in the building, would you want to go?
At this point, we talked about it yesterday. I got one destination in mind. H-Town.
But hold on.
H-Town.
You may never, as much as I would like to see Micah Shrewsbury stay, you may never get back to this. You don't know if you're going to get back to this spot again. I'm talking about getting to a Sweet 16. So you're telling me if I could procure two tickets to go to the Sweet 16, and before I offer this, I have to check the pricing of it. Maybe I will either pay for your airfare or your hotel. You're telling me you're going to say thanks, but no thanks, no big deal. I'm going to watch the game in the city. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you know, I got limited finances, and so if I'm going to go, I would like to go all in.
Okay.
I like to right now, there's some good cards on the table. I'm going to try to play my hand here, and I'm hoping 2 weeks from now, we'll be looking at, you know, maybe flights down to Southeast Texas.
Okay.
Or Southwest Texas.
So I don't you're even know telling where Houston me, is what you're saying.
The landscape.
I would have to take care of your hotel?
No. I don't
take
want
care
you
of
to
the tickets
do it. I don't want you to. I don't want you
no,
to.
No, but I think this would be a fun moment. I really do for the show.
There is, I will also
put
be honest,
way.
Part of my hesitation is this. They win, Penn State wins tomorrow. We go to the Sweet 16. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's Friday. My biggest fear, Penn State loses, and I got to hear about it from you.
No.
I do now. I will
no,
be in
no mood.
I will not want to then take a long flight back from Kansas City to here and hear it about Penn State losing to whoever by 30.
Nope, that's not me. I would only do that for one team that you root for, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. And I think I've been very consistent with that on the air. I think the bigger part of the story here, Hickey doesn't want to go to Kansas City with me. I literally just offered you hotel tickets and airfare on my dime. And you're going to say, yeah, I got to think about it. Or, oh, I'm afraid if they lose that all of a sudden I can't deal with you.
Well, think about it.
I'll book us different flights back.
We've been working together for 3 years, roughly. I think it may be even more than that.
More, going back to weekend overnight days when you would sometimes fill it.
I have only heard negative words coming out of your mouth about Penn State, whether it's I'm wearing a Penn State shirt, whether they lose a rough game. Now, it's mostly been football related. I get it because Penn State basketball has not really given any of us a reason to talk about them.
Now, to be fair.
So I am conditioned for over 3 years to hear hatred and negativity. So forgive me for the last 24 hours of being very hesitant and skeptical. Now, all of a sudden, we're into 180, okay. And now you are Mr. Penn State waving the blue and white pom-poms and
for
screaming, we are Penn State. I am very skeptical.
I just think it's good for the show if Penn State keeps winning. And I think if Penn State's in the Sweet 16, how are you not there? Like, that to me, when you told me yesterday you'd only go to the Final Four, I'm like, first off, this dope is just unrealistic. The Final Four, please give me a break.
Me and two of my friends, 2 weeks ago, we said if they make the tournament, they make the Final Four, we are, because we were talking about going to MSG. So again, it's not just me, it's my friends as well. We're already making plans to have them come up here, stay in my apartment, and go to MSG for the Elite Eight. Now, that's no go. Now, it's okay. We'll make a promise to ourselves. They're in Houston. We will be there.
Okay. You may be in Kansas City. I'm going to price this out, see how feasible it is. Now, you don't have unlimited off days, so you may have to use a sick day, cough, cough, or I'll just tell Spike, hey, you know, give us off. But
I don't know if sick days work when we talk about it on the air and the boss is listening that, hey, we're going to take a sick day.
Well, that's your first mistake. You think the bosses are listening right now.
It is a Friday and St. Patrick's Day.
Come on.
Hopefully they're drinking a few green beers.
Cough.
And forgetting what we're saying about using sick days when we're not, quote unquote, not sick, allegedly.
Spike. Hey, Hickey, cough.
Oh, geez. Wow, there's some bug here I got.
I got the Penn State lung pop. And then he sees you like courtside at the game.
That would be interesting. That'd be an interesting conversation to have.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think I could have Spike give us the day off if I sell it to him as this is a show bonding experience. It's out of the kindness of my own heart. I'm funding the trip. We're going. We're going to have some fun. I think Spike would be an all for it, an all go, and give us the thumbs up. And if not, then we'll have a fight. And we'll see who wins. He'll probably win because he's the boss. But you never know. All righty, we'll come on back. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. From earlier today, Marquette did take down Vermont 78-61. UConn, they were down by 2 at halftime to 13 seed Iona, coached by Rick Pitino. Then the Huskies in the second half outscored the Gales 50-24. They win 87-63. UConn, Baylor beats UC Santa Barbara 74-56. That was a 1-point lead at halftime for UC Santa Barbara. You did have Xavier just surviving coming on back against Kennesaw State 72-67. St. Mary's, I thought VCU could add an upset today. But St. Mary's better team, 63-51. Michigan State, they do defeat USC. Michigan State was the better team for most of the first half. Then USC went on a late first half run to make it a tie game going into halftime. And Michigan State just pulled away in the second half, and they win by 10. Michigan State, Joey Hauser had 17 points and 8 rebounds. You may remember a few years ago, the Hauser brothers were freshmen, were at Marquette, and then both did end up transferring after that 1 year for Joey Hauser there. So 3 or 4 years later, Hauser's going to go up against his old team Marquette in the second round of the NCAA tournament. That's Marquette's next matchup coming up on Sunday, I believe, between Marquette and Michigan State. Creighton beats NC State 72-63. And did you see before the game in Pitt, Iowa State, did you at all catch this, Hickey, that this was delayed slightly? I guess the rims were off in warmups for Iowa State, and Iowa State asked the NCAA to adjust the rims. Greg Gumbel, who I can't stand Greg Gumbel after what he said about radio, and it's just bitterness because he was no good at radio, and I think he's a very overrated play-by-play guy now, and I saw that he signed an extension with CBS, but he's not going to do NFL, so that's at least good news. Greg Gumbel comes back from break, like, so serious. And he goes, unfortunately, we have a delay. And, like, the look on his face, you know when you get serious broadcasting face and you're like, uh-oh, something seriously is going wrong? And then it's like, oh, the rims just had to be adjusted. Like, I thought something seriously happened in the stadium, or they were talking about, like, the death of someone, like, in a program, like, honoring someone in a season or something about to go to TV package. It was like, oh, the rims were just off in Pittsburgh and Iowa State. And you know what they did to fill time? Charles Barkley talked about how when he was early on in the NBA and they would leave one city early the next morning and they didn't have a private plane and they would fly commercial, he would shower in his uniform and then hang his uniform, and that's how they would wash the uniforms from one night to another. And on the set, you had Kenny the Jet Smith and Clark Kellogg just, like, dying. They're like, that never happened. Like, what are you talking about? And Barkley was adamant that he wasn't lying, and he was saying, oh, that's how I used to wash my uniform in the earlier days of him being in the NBA.
Jeez. I mean, I guess that's ingenuity, but could you imagine back-to-back, you got a shower with your uniform? Imagine being on a commercial flight. There's Charles Barkley just hanging his uniform, what, in the aisle? How do you dry that?
I guess he would hang it in his hotel the night before and then hope it would dry by the morning. Like, why didn't they have a washing machine? No, you didn't have. You couldn't give it to one of the equipment staff guys and they couldn't wash it for you?
You think that would be a quicker process than having a shower in your own uniform than have it hope it dries before you leave early the next morning?
But Gumbel comes back from that break and he was like so serious, and it was just funny how it led to that conversation. But Iowa State was irate about the rims, and I guess they didn't have a lot of time to warm up, or they couldn't accurately warm up, and then they go 2 of 21 from 3 and 14 of 60 from the field. Now, it's not like Pitt was dominant. They shot 34% from the field, 14 of 41. They were 6 of 19 from 3. But, geez, Iowa State only scoring 41 points in the game, and they cut it to 7 a few times, but they were never really in danger of really shifting momentum in that one.
That would explain the 20-2 start that they were down by, why they couldn't hit any shots with the first 10 minutes of the game.
But I kid you not, when Gumbel comes back from break, and Gumbel has no personality, so usually he comes back from break very serious. When he was just talking about why the game was being delayed, like, and he didn't tell us what was happening at first, he was like, you know, we have the game being delayed, unfortunately. I'm like, oh, something serious must have happened inside the stadium, or they're about to go to, like, a very emotional piece about some adversity that one of these programs overcome. It's like, oh, the rims just need to be readjusted.
He doesn't seem like someone who's ever laughed in his life or that could tell a joke. Like, he is,
which is crazy because he's doing morning radio.
And it's serious. There's no lighter note or, hey, weird, funny, quirky thing happened, and it's bad news.
Well, there's some guys like Ian Eagle, by the way, who's like one of the best broadcasters there is. He has personality. Then there's other broadcasters that are just button-up broadcasters that if they don't have the teleprompter in front of them, they can't ad-lib and they could have no fun. And they can't laugh. And that's kind of what Greg Gumbel is. All right, anyway. Pitt wins today 59-41. And Fairleigh Dickinson and Purdue, Hickey. This is a game. Fairleigh Dickinson's been back and forth. They're up by one right now with a minute left in the first half.
So remember their coach, after winning the first four, basically called out Purdue, said, hey, we could beat them. Hope Purdue sees this.
Did the Brian Billick when he was the coach of the Ravens with Tennessee.
How much
going up Tennessee, yeah.
Can he lose by, let's say, and still have it be respectable?
I think this is already enough. You gave a first half fight. I don't care if you lose by 20 in the second half.
Okay.
Sure, there's going to be Purdue fans that use Twitter fingers and go, oh, yeah, how about that, coach?
Real tough guy.
But come on. Like, there's no embarrassment here for a 16 seed. You have, in that situation, I like when a coach does that. Like, if it was an 8-9, if this was, you know, like even like a 5-12, a little bit different. If this was 10-7, different. When it's a 16 and a 1, only one 16 seed has ever won. And that was UMBC up against Tony Bennett's Virginia squad all those years ago. I have no problem doing that. Like, get your name out there. Get your program some more conversation, some more publicity. And if anything, you kind of take all the pressure off your players if there is any pressure, and it goes right on the coach when you make a statement like that.
I still think you got to lose within 10. Like, I don't think a strong first half. You lose within 10, then I think people will say, you know what? Okay, they lost, like I said, 16 seed. They're on to something here. They played Purdue really tough. If they lose, but even though they're playing so far really well, like I said, they're leading right before halftime, you come out there and get drubbed in the second half,
yeah,
and you lose by 25, I think it's still the message is not as strong as it could have been if you lose by 7.
But is anyone going to reference this guy by name? Like, you even did it right there. It was like, oh, the Fairleigh Dickinson coach. Like, no one's saying Tobin Anderson.
No, but they would if you lose by 7. It's like, okay, this is someone who, you know, hey, called the shot. Now, they didn't win the game, but they gave Purdue everything they could handle. I don't think a first half run is enough to get the name out there and stick.
I really do not believe that anyone, regardless, even if they lose in the second half by 30, is going to genuinely be pulling up that clip and go, see, coach, you should be embarrassed. Unless you are Eggface 2678934 5 on social media. That's the person.
I guess in 2 hours-ish, we'll see. I could definitely see Twitter, like, pulling that clip and then, like, having some sort of meme, like, eek. Then, you know, 2 hours later, then it's like a, you know, you lose by 30.
I think you're just too obsessed with Twitter these days.
I don't know. I'm just telling you how Twitter reacts.
I'm
it's different than the real world. People do love to clown others whenever possible. I think you'll look back at that and be like, oh, look at this guy. This guy called a shot and you lose by 30. I think you forget the 116 sometimes.
If Coach Anderson walked right past you, would you even be able to recognize him? No shot.
Well, I mean, I've seen him on TV recently, so maybe.
No
but
way.
Otherwise, probably not.
It's the same thing. Remember the guy that used the hot dog to drink the beer, and you were like, oh, you couldn't pay me $100,000 to do that. That's all the embarrassment. No one ever talks about that guy anymore. No one actually remembers that guy. No one
His friends
this
and
guy.
Family do. That will never leave them.
The only way you remember this guy is if he wins this game. That's how you remember him. If he loses, it's not like, oh, remember when he talked all that smack for the game and he lost? Come on. It's a 16-1. He's expected to lose. So that's just the way that I think about that. Now, there's 25.6 seconds left in that first half, and Fairleigh Dickinson is up 30-29. All right, well, come on back. You got to hear this Adam Schefter audio about the number one overall pick, and I don't think Hickey is going to like it.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Hi, thank you very much. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. So last week, was it a Friday? Last Friday? Was that a full week? When we found out the Bears and the Panthers made a trade or agreed to terms, because it wasn't official, I guess, until Wednesday, that you were going to have the Carolina Panthers move up to the number one overall pick. And immediately after that, it was Joe Person from The Athletic, who covers the Panthers, saying the intention is for the Panthers to move up to go get C.J. Stroud. Now, I think that initial report is very important, but it doesn't mean that is going to be the actual pick. Because as we've learned a few years ago, when we knew that Lawrence was going one and Zach Wilson was going two to the Jags and the Jets, when the Niners initially moved up to that third overall pick, the thought was, whether you believed it or not, but this is what they were intending to do, they were going to draft Mac Jones. And then throughout the draft process, it turned out to be a decision between Mac Jones or Trey Lance. And they ended up going with Trey Lance with the third overall pick. So today, and if this was just Joe Schmo, it would be different. If this is someone that didn't cover the Panthers or didn't cover the NFL and wasn't a big national name, we're not talking about this. But Adam Schefter, who is like the insider when it comes to football, he was on ESPN, and he says the Panthers right now actually have Bryce Young number one on their board. Let's listen up. This courtesy of ESPN and NFL Live.
I think going into the process of evaluating the quarterbacks, I think that Bryce Young is the favorite to become the number one overall pick. Let me say it this way. I think Bryce Young is to the Panthers what Mac Jones was to the 49ers when they traded up. They traded up with the idea that they really liked Mac Jones, and then they went through the process and wound up on Trey Lance. I think in this particular case, this team moved up with the idea that Bryce Young was a guy that they loved. They also really like C.J. Stroud. He's definitely got support within the organization. And we'll see what transpires during the course of evaluations. But I think at the beginning of the process, it starts out with Bryce Young as the favorite.
So, Hickey, let me ask you this. And this is just where my brain goes to. You have other panelists that are there. I think it was Mina Kimes, Keyshawn Johnson, and then also, I want to say it was Laura Rutledge, too, was on the set. And I think it's either Mina or Laura that's going like, ooh, ooh. Do you think they didn't know that Schefty was going to say that? Because what Schefter's saying, and he says it so casually, and Schefter only kind of has like one tone, is something that we haven't heard yet. And then like part of me wants to say, maybe they didn't know, and you hear that in the background, like, I haven't heard that. Or do you think everyone knew on that set that that was coming from Schefter?
No, I think they genuinely didn't know. Now, I edited it down or edited it out to make it shorter, but Laura Rutledge basically stopped him because he was continuing to go on. Basically said, hold on, let's just circle back here. You have Bryce, or you're saying that Bryce Young's number one on their board.
Because everyone said it's C.J. Stroud.
Right, the C.J. Stroud report. That's when he dove deeper in, made the Mac Jones comparison. I think everyone was legitimately surprised that Schefter is saying that within the Panthers organization, Bryce Young right now is number one.
Now, I don't know all of Schefter's sources, right? He has like a ton of them, obviously. He's the most, him and Ian Rapp are the two most
Aaron Rodgers,
connected
though.
Reporters.
We know that not a source.
Lose my number, bro. By the way, a friend of mine yesterday texted me and was like critical to me about one of my tweets about the NCAA tournament. And I go, lose my number. Nice try, bro. Now, the friend who is in sports media did not respond back to that. So I did not follow back up. But I wonder if he genuinely thinks that I'm annoyed in the joke. Like, this isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, let's just say, my friend. If the joke kind of just went over his head, if the joke just flew right over his cabeza.
Sounds like you answered your own question, because this was viral enough to where it's one of those everyone, especially if you're in sports, would have gotten
it. But he's in sports media, this guy.
That's what I'm saying. He should have gotten it.
It's another national host, too. He goes, I see you're making up for your lack of college hoops tweets in all other non-month March months. And I'm just like, nice try, bro. Lose my number.
That's also kind of weird. Like, okay, right? What are you, Mr. College Basketball now?
Well, I never pretend to be Mr. College Basketball. Now, I watch college basketball, not 24/7, but I watch college basketball throughout the season. I just don't wait until March all of a sudden to start watching it. But in terms of talking on the show and also tweeting about things, our audience for most of the time up until I would say probably like a week before the conference tournaments or the conference tournaments do not care about college basketball.
It's a weird text from your friend. That's right? Really weird. Again, just because, first of all, you can watch college basketball in December and not tweet about it because...
And I've tweeted about it.
Maybe no one, you know, is interested in the game you're watching.
And you know what? I want to be careful here with what I'm about to say because he is a friend. But the audacity of this person to text me that when I took this guy to a college basketball game this year. I got him tickets. We went together to a college basketball game this year.
Now, is it a Temple game?
Yes.
Does it? I don't think that's.
But the game afterwards, which was St. John's Syracuse, he didn't want to stay. I said, let's stay. Let's watch the game.
Wow, so Mr. College Basketball is not Mr. College Basketball after all, because he doesn't want to watch December? January? November?
It was right before Thanksgiving.
November.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want to watch a November St. John's Syracuse game. So who truly is Mr. Basketball?
Exactly.
Not your friend.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to the Schefter thing. Let's not bury the lead. You and I both believe Bryce Young should be the number one overall pick. But it sounds like C.J. Stroud will be. Is this Schefter maybe getting information, I don't know, from someone in the Panthers organization that does not agree with the C.J. Stroud pick? Like, David Tepper, who reportedly wants Bryce Young, and it's Frank Reich who wants C.J. Stroud? Or is this maybe like a Texan source trying to get Schefter some information from someone? So, or maybe, it would be a Panther source to try to get the Texans to move up to one because the Texans, we all know, want Bryce Young.
I would say right now it's probably the latter. I bet you it's probably the Panthers trying to goat the Texans into trading up to number one, take Bryce Young, even though all along maybe they like C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson. Should be Bryce, but I think this is more put fear in the Texans' eyes.
Well, here's what I'm learning either way. Regardless of who they actually like, Bryce Young is not going to be available after two because the Texans will take him at two regardless of who goes one, just as long as it's not Bryce Young. And still, your guys at four who could maybe move up to three in the Colts will not be getting Bryce Young.
Who did the Texans sign? Oh, Case Keenum. That was it. I don't know. Case, I think, still got some left in his arm. Maybe you take Will Anderson at two, generationally talented defensive player. Maybe draft another receiver at like 12 or a receiver at 12.
Can you give up on the Bryce Young dream?
And then I would just pass on a guy who's too small. I mean, if I was Houston and I'm trading away Laramie Tunsil, I would say, you know what? Small QB, not for us.
Can you? I know you're marinated in just sarcasm there and crap. Can you just give up the dream of Bryce Young and just admit that it's dead?
Yes. No, it's been, unfortunately, given up on.
Okay, so I could stop.
Hoping for a miracle, but.
I could stop wearing black to work as we just mourn in your loss of Bryce Young not coming to the
The casket hasn't buried and the dirt is over the casket.
Okay, and we're done sitting Shiva, is what you're telling me.
Yes, it is all over.
Okay. It's all over. Who will be the number one overall pick?
I will say C.J. Stroud.
And who will be the number two overall pick?
Will Anderson, Jr.
Who do you seriously think will be the number two overall pick?
Bryce Young.
There we go. See? We're back to the Colts, eight. We'll somewhat root for Penn State, though, coming up tomorrow.